Amen. Love that song. Thank you, Chris, Miriam. Two things I wanted to share before we look at some scripture is the last time I shared on a Wednesday night. Anybody remember the topic? The second greatest story ever told. And I talked about booklets you could take with you. And I, of course, wanted to make sure Jim and Marianne said okay, and they gave me the thumbs up. So they're back on the back if you'd like to grab one on the way out. I know a couple of people already have and have given us really good feedback. So these are available on the way out in the back. I recommend you grab one, read through it. Call me if you have any other questions about that. I'll help you with it. Second thing I wanted to get out of the way, if you don't mind, is go 49ers. Okay, yeah, enough of that, right? Don't need to offend any of the Kansas City fans. But, and I've got Nick taking care of me over here. Okay. On the front of our programs, our flyers, every week, there's a verse. Does anybody know the verse or what it says? Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. I'm going to share it with you. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. I want to repeat that. For the equipping of the saints, that's you and me, for the work of the ministry, of God's ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And tonight, if I can just, my goal is to simply equip you with something that you can take out of here and use. Now, of course, the Word of God we're using all the time, but again, talking about that shoe leather, something that that's tangible that we can go in, and hopefully it will be a simple but great help in you continuing or maybe starting to share the gospel, because we're called to share the gospel, right? Any question about that, about God's call for us to? Do you see it in Scripture? It's there. But you know, most people, boy, they just haven't. Do you know, when Barna has done its survey, 95% of Christians have never led someone to Christ. Isn't that amazing? 95%, just 5% are out there sharing. And one of my questions years ago was, why is that? I had to look at myself because I didn't share for many years as a Christian. Didn't really understand how, what, is there a method? What do I share? I really wasn't taught, and I'll share, you know, there is no one way. I'll mention that right now. I don't have the one answer for you tonight. This is just one method. I'm going to share several methods, but we're going to look at one in a little more detail so that you can put it into use, if you will. And I'm also very aware, if I were to ask each of you, there would be some of you that say, oh yeah, I share, I just do this, it's very effective, I just say that. In fact, I, over the last several years, have asked many Christians, any chance that I get, I'll ask them if they can explain the gospel to me, just explain it to me. And we already know we're both Christians, so there's no, we're usually friends or people I've met, and guess what? They can't. They don't, it's amazing. They don't know. And this came and hit my heart really hard one day when a buddy of mine, I don't know if I shared this last time or not, but we were old friends before we were believers and out partying and drinking buddies and so forth, and we went our own ways. He was a friend of a relative of a good friend of mine. We went our own ways, and long story short, he called me one day out of the blue, and he was at a rehab center, and he was in Anaheim and we were living in Mission Viejo. And it really took me off guard because we hadn't talked in many, many years. And he told me where he was. And it's like God spoke to me. And he said, Matthew, he's asking for the gospel. He was asking me peripheral questions about God and my life. And at first I was like, oh yeah, great, you know, kind of this, that, the other. And then God's talking to me, you know, he's looking for the gospel. So I scurry around, grab my Bible. I didn't know where to go, what to do. I was not prepared. Didn't know where to kind of look up. What do I tell him? You know, Lord, give me some verses. Well, the Lord let me fail to show me, you're not prepared, Matthew. The word says to be prepared in season and out of season, to be able to share the hope we have in heaven with anybody who asks, with all who ask. So that really hit me, because I hung up really feeling bad and feeling like a failure. But that was kind of the start of, wow, I need to learn this. And by the way, it took me years of looking at this and checking that and trying to find some information. So we'll look a little bit at that. If you brought your Bibles, I'm sure you all did, let's take a look at some scripture that encourages us or commands us to make disciples and share the gospel. I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. And by the way, I'm going to move rather swiftly because I'm hoping we have time tonight where we can actually highlight some scripture in our Bibles if you choose to do so. Some people don't want to, I know, mark in their Bible, but if you're one of those that does, or maybe you'll find a different way to circle, underline, but that's why I gave you highlighters, and actually tag where these verses are. But we'll get to that page I gave you in a little bit. If we don't have time tonight to actually get to the workshop and highlight those things and put a sticker on that page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you can take it home and do it. But 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, and this is what Paul received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. I'm going to stop. I'll finish in a minute, but here's the thing. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. He goes on to say, and that he was seen by Cephas, of course that's Peter, and then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep, some have died. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. So I read that scripture because that is really almost the most basic, elementary gospel message that Paul tells us right here. This is what was declared to me, and I'm passing on. This is the heart of the gospel, if you will. But if we just share that, it might make sense to some, it might not. Remember that the Spirit is the one that does the saving. Even Paul said, hey, I don't preach to you with eloquent words. He wasn't a fancy speaker. He just delivered the word. Our job is just to deliver the word, whether we're planting seeds, watering, but who does the saving? We always have to remember that, and that's important a little bit later. Here's some more verses. Let's look at 1 Peter 3:15, and you can choose to get there, or you can just listen. Here's some commands. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. As always, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Another translation reads this way on that same verse, 1 Peter 3:15. It says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. And that's that. That's what I was not ready with my buddy Jim when he called me. I was not prepared. Romans 10, 8 to 17. Romans 10, verses 8 to 17. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, does anybody doubt those words? These are promises. I'll go on. How then, he asks, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? By the way, you and me, we're the preachers. We're the preachers. He finishes up and says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's from you and me. Right? Not just Pastor Jim. Not just Billy Graham. Shoe leather, you and me. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Last chapter of Matthew. You all know this verse. You've heard it so many times, I'm sure. Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Right there in that end of that chapter, right? Amen. That means so be it. That's what that word means, so be it. So here he's telling us, make disciples. And he also says, I am with you always. That means even when we're sharing the gospel. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Is that right? We've got to remember, he is with us. Always, he says. Same verse in Mark, same time in Mark. It's Mark 16, 14 to 16. And Pastor Jim just covered this a week or so ago. End of Mark, last chapter of Mark, verses 14 to 16. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So same time, Mark's recording a little something different. He's not just saying, go make disciples. He's saying, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So there he's telling us, his disciples, preach the gospel to everyone. And it's interesting because it's not recorded that anybody said, yeah, but what about me? I'm not a public speaker. I'm an introvert. Jesus, I'm Peter the fisherman, you know, not me. No, you know, they're all called to go. All of us are called to go. Couple more. Matthew 13, 3 through 9. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, again, Matthew 13, 3 to 9. He's saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And that's you and me, we're the sowers. And he sowed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. The seed, devoured the seed, the word of God that we're sowing. And that reminds me of like when you see they're replanting grass. Have you ever seen when they scalp the grass? It's real big in Palm Springs. Everybody does it because of the hot weather and so forth. They scalp that grass and they reseed it. And you see the gardeners out there with a machine and they're doing this and it's scattering it everywhere. They're just trying to get that seed everywhere. Well, some of it fell on our sidewalk. We lived out there for several years and it didn't grow. The birds came and ate it. Just like it says here, that seed would fall on the hard path or on the ground, and they would eat it. It goes on to say, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So, interesting. The seed that fell on the sidewalk, the hard heart, right, who rejects it, the birds ate. We would get some seeds in the cracks, you know, in the sidewalks, how there's cracks every so often. And we'd see that spring up, just what it's saying here, spring up. But there was no depth because it was sidewalk beneath that. And as soon as it got hot, shoo, it would all go away. Interesting. He goes on to say, some fell on among thorns, and the thorns sprang up quickly, and thorns sprang up quickly and choked them. So we see that where it's scattered maybe in the garden where we had other plants and so forth, and the other bushes would take it over. And then finally he says, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So we're talking about sowing. Here he is talking about us sowing that seed again. And the point there is, we have to remember that if we just look at percentages here, very few people are going to receive it and remain. There's going to be some that reject it. Proverbs talks about three types of people. When you look in there, it often talks about scoffers, fools, and the simple. And it's interesting because generally speaking, when I've shared the gospel with somebody who might fall under that category of simple, they're looking for, those are the people that said, oh my gosh, I've been praying for this, right? God's been taught. Thank you. They thank you for it. They just didn't know. They were still unsaved, heading for hell. But they're thankful for it. The fool will hear your word and know it. Know it's right and still go the other way. That's why he's called a fool. He even gets it. Then you have the mocker. And if I have a chance, I'll share with some of the people that I've shared with and some of the responses I've got, because I've had responses from all of them. And the mockers literally, like the scripture says, don't cast your pearls before swine, because they'll turn on you, trample on the word of God or the pearls, and come to devour you. And literally, I've had some people who, you just leave them alone. You're going to have some tribulation, but he still calls us to share it. The disciples had some problems, didn't they? They were all persecuted and killed. Even John. So I was talking with someone on Sunday. I said, oh, you know, John, I think it was Nancy. And I said, oh, you know, John, at least he lived to be 90 or 95, whatever he was, a full life. And she goes, yeah, but think about it. Patmos and church history tells us he was put into a pot of boiling oil and he lived. Okay, he had a rough time. The other guys were all partying in heaven. The Lord left him here to do his work. So we're casting seed. 2 Corinthians 2:14-17. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 2:14-17. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So to both sides, we're a fragrance, but guess what? We're a different fragrance to one party than the other. Paul goes on to write, to the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death. And to the other, we're the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Interesting. When you're sharing the gospel, some people are going to be disgusted with it. It stinks to them. They don't want to hear it. They want nothing to do with it. You'll come across, that'll happen. You'll see that. You won't always see it when you're sharing. Sometimes you will. And for others, it's a beautiful aroma. It's life. They get it. They see it. The Spirit's touched them. The Spirit has connected with, has been leading them to that, has doing a work in them, and it's life. They see the life. Acts 1:8. A couple more here. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now we either believe that verse or we don't, once again. It's a promise. He says the Holy Spirit will come upon us and we shall be his witnesses. Literally, he's working through us in ways we don't even know. We're just supposed to share the good news and let the Lord do the work, however he chooses to do so. He will come upon us. He will often give you words, and I'm sure this has happened to many of you, you don't even know where they come from. It's like, wow, I'm sharing verses, and he's putting things on my mind, and I'm telling people this and that and the other, and wow, didn't even think about that or prepare for that. Let that Spirit just flow through you. We just have to be willing to open our mouth. Finally, Romans 8:31. Just one short verse here, but powerful. And then, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Trying to encourage you and remind you that God is with you. And if he's with you when you're sharing the good news, the gospel, who can be against you? You can't lose. And again, we don't do the saving. Do we? Why don't we share? I wrote down 10 reasons. There's probably 20, maybe 30. I just quickly was thinking things I've heard or anybody care to share? You want to? No. It's a kind of embarrassing, I know. Why don't we share? Well, one would be unbelief in the Word of God, his promises mentioned above. Here are all these promises and we just don't believe it. In the New Testament, there's that father that is thanking the Lord for, I believe, healing his son. But he tells Jesus, help me with my unbelief. And I, for years, thought, wait a second, he's saved. What does he mean, my unbelief? Well, it's not a matter of salvation. He's having troubles believing all the other scripture, all the other promises. Help me, Lord, with my unbelief. And so we read these scriptures. We all agree, yeah, he's telling us to go. A lot more scriptures, by the way, would show us that he's telling us to share the good news. But we don't always trust him or believe in him. And he's merciful, isn't he? Oh, he's patient with us. He'll give us the grace we need, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the devil whispers in our ear. The second thing I put, the devil whispers in our ear. And he whispers doubts in there. Oh, you're gonna blow that. Oh, yeah, you don't want to share with them. They're not ready. Oh, bad timing. He just puts all these doubts. That's what he does. That's part of his job, is to bring that doubt upon us. And I've failed. I've heard God tell me to share with someone and then shrunk away. I've blown it and feel terrible later. I just I lacked that faith. Something came up and I thought, okay, good time not to say anything instead of sharing like I should have. But he's merciful. If he doesn't use you, in which you'll gain rewards for, he'll find someone else. God's going to get his will done. That person's to be saved, they'll be saved. But we get to partner with him and just share. It's a matter of faith and share. Fear of failure. We think it's all up to us when only God does the saving, right? We are simply rewarded for our faithfulness and obedience in sharing the gospel, just trusting him. Fourth thing I put is we're afraid that we won't know what to say if they have any questions. Like, what if? All of a sudden it's what if, what if, what if, what if? And it's simple. All you need to do is say, I don't know, but I'll find out for you. You got a great pastor here, Pastor Jim. All kinds of friends. We can find the answer for them if they genuinely want to know, right? I don't know. Just say, I don't know. I have a friend that actually led him to salvation. He was a staunch unbeliever. Wife had become a believer. He was angry about that. And he was going to go talk with his Japanese pastor and just go tear him up with questions. And he asked them some giant question about the universe and this and that and the other. And the pastor just said, I don't know. I don't know that answer. But we'll look into it. And you know, he was so genuine to my Japanese friend. That's what drew him in. This guy's honest. He expected to get some kind of crazy answer that they could battle. And the guy just said, I don't know. And he ended up accepting Christ and becoming a strong believer. What if they get angry? What if they do get angry? Holy Spirit's working on them. They're being convicted. You're not called to push, 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 shove, shove, shove. If they're not ready, they're not ready. It said earlier, one of the verses said, do it respectfully and gently on our side, right? And that's actually a good sign if they're angry, because something's there. If they're indifferent, that's the funny thing, when they just really genuinely don't care. But when they're angry, they're close. They're close. Some people say I'm an introvert. Some people say I'm not a public speaker. We know Moses wasn't either, but God worked through him. I'm not trained. I'm not educated. Well, neither were the disciples or the other disciples that were followers, nor am I. Didn't go to seminary to learn how to preach the gospel. We can learn in our Bibles. What do I do next? Like, what if they say yes? Uh-oh. What if they do want to receive Christ? I don't know how to pray with them. And what then? You know, what do I get them? These are all questions that have come up in the past. Or maybe we just simply disobey. Maybe we just flat out are saying, I ain't going to do it. I'm not an evangelist. That's somebody else's gift. But he calls all of us to do it. So, moving on. Again, there's no one way to share the gospel. And God's word and God is way too big, way too broad for there to just be one way. I hear J. Vernon McGee, when they're going through Leviticus and people write letters in saying that they were saved going through Leviticus. He can use anything, any of his word. And when you have a good teacher who can show you where Jesus Christ is in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, guess what? They go, whoa, because he's there. So it's not limited to you and me, and I'm going to share some verses with you tonight that you can use, but hey, he's much bigger than that. He can use whatever he wants wherever people are in the Word of God. You can share your testimony. I mentioned that that book, right? Remember we talked about that last time. A lot of people simply are comfortable sharing their story. And people hear that story and they come to Christ. It may be miraculous, it may be simple, but don't be afraid to share the second greatest story ever told, your story. One pastor says it's as easy as ABC. Admit you're a sinner, A. B, believe in Christ. And C, come to me, come to Jesus. repent. Because when you turn to Jesus, you're turning from something, aren't you? You weren't following him before. ABC. So that's pretty simple. You can use gospel tracts. I picked up a couple of these on the back table. I don't know if any of you have even grabbed any in all the years we've been coming here, but I remember asking Pastor Jim not long ago, what did you do when you first became a Christian? I remember him saying, well, I listened to J. Vernon McGee. He was a great teacher, and we used to share gospel tracts. They still work today, believe it or not. Some people want to read it. They get it. When I was speaking with Chris and Miriam, they were asking me, what's the title of your message? What's it going to be? And I shared with them sharing the gospel. Immediately, Miriam sent me a link to Billy Graham's Simply Sharing Jesus. In fact, they're going to come up now and go through this with you. Did you get that? You didn't get that message? Maybe they're not. But here's another way. I just printed it out. And by the way, simple, they make it simple. This is just another method. Know your role. Know your opportunity. They write, know your audience, and they share a little bit about that. What do I do? Live a godly life. We got to live it. Doesn't do much good to share it if you're not living it, because they're going to say, hey, this something's not right here, right? Live a godly life. Pray for open hearts and open doors. So prayer's involved. Always prayer's involved. Sometimes we're asking the Lord to remove those scales, right? Jesus said, no one comes to the Father yet except for by me, right? And no one gives him those sheep but by the Father. So we're praying for that. And then he says, speak, share your testimony. What's he say? What was your like life before you accepted Christ? How did you receive Christ? And how has life changed since you've accepted Christ? Kind of the same stuff that was in that pamphlet that I gave out last time. They use the same method. Then, how nice is this? The gospel in four simple steps. I just got a couple of pages. It's what you would normally see. God's plan, peace in life, our problem, separation from God. Shows the separation there. Then there's the cross. God's remedy, the cross. Our response to receive Christ. So here is a simple little couple of pages here. And then they even give you a prayer to praise. If someone decides they want to receive Christ. So there is a method. And even the last thing he says, follow up, just to give an idea. He says, remember, this individual is a spiritual baby. And he goes to 1 Peter 2:2. In order to grow, an infant needs a nurture and care. The same is true spiritually. Encourage your friend to begin to read the Bible and pray regularly. Help him or her find a Bible teaching church. We got one of those, right? In order to have fellowship with other believers in Christ and continue to grow. Pretty good advice. Billy knows, right? Billy knows. Greg Laurie has a free online training course. It's called Tell Someone. And I haven't gone through it. I kind of started looking at that stuff a year or so ago, just interested. All that gospel stuff interests me. And it's literally, you know, he's got the gift of evangelism, right? Got a great little course if you want to look at that. Anybody heard of the Roman Road? Learning some verses. We'll look at a few of them today. We've already looked at one or two, but that's part of what I use. And I even have a friend last week as I was talking to him, not even necessarily talking to him about tonight or this, but we're talking about sharing the gospel. And he says, you know what I do? I have my favorite pastor. He's done a little video of sharing the gospel. It's 10 minutes long. The other one's 20 minutes long. And when I know someone wants to hear it, I just set up my iPad and I say, well, just watch this. And he says he leads people to Christ all the time. Remember, we're just pointing Jesus to them. We're just leading them. The Spirit does the saving. So there's different methods, aren't there? We shouldn't be limited to just one. So let's take a peek. Some people would say, how do I start the conversation? I mean, what do I say? You know, there's family members. there's friends, there's co-workers, all of who need to hear the gospel. There's Christians who need to hear the gospel. Or at least they think they're Christians, and some may be, and some may not be, but they need to hear it. And so how do I start that conversation? A pastor friend of mine often just asks people, he loves to share the gospel, and he says, you know, if you were to get to the pearly gates in heaven and Jesus asked you why he should let you in, what would be your answer? You're going to quickly find out whether they understand the gospel of grace, because most people think they're good enough. Well, I've done this and I've done that, and, you know, compared to this guy or gal, right? Usually they're off track there. Another very popular pastor just simply asks, and I've done this with neighbors when we've had conversations, and it wasn't that I just walked up and said it, but a little conversation and something comes up, and I just ask them if they've ever heard the good news, if they understand the good news. I say, you know, has anybody ever shared with you the gospel or why it's called the good news? Do you know why Christians believe what they believe? And several of my neighbors say, well, no. And I say, well, you know. And I know whether we got 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 15 minutes. Some of those conversations turned into an hour because I was able to just simply share the basics, just the basics. And then they get it. They go. Well, some have moved forward and some haven't. Don't get me wrong. They don't all just sign up. But we got to be able to just share it in conversation. And they just asked, have you ever heard? I mean, do you know why Christians are Christians or why they believe what they believe? I have a buddy, professional baseball player, and he tells his testimony, he tells his story, that he was a believer, and he, you know, of course, he's on top of the world. He's playing pro baseball and this, that, and the other. And spring training, he's down in Florida, and he goes and stays with a family. And he's 25, 26, and the 17-year-old kid who lived at the house came and sat next to him, and they're watching TV with everybody else, and he just looks over at my friend Ben, and he says, how's your walk with Jesus going? And oh boy, Ben, boy, did the pride come out. He said he got so angry. Who is this kid challenging me? But boy, let me tell you what happened. After they had a little conversation and the Lord got a hold of Ben, he realized that his walk wasn't where it needed to be. And that's where that pride came from. He just used this kid to ask the question. That's an easy question. I ask that a lot. How's your walk with God? That's pretty non-threatening. Because we don't even know who their God is. But just how is it? That's an open-ended question. Very easy to ask. I tell people often, look, after I've said something like that, look, I don't have any magic wand here. You're safe with me. You know, I just want to share the truth about what the Bible says so you understand it, and no one's going to force you or make you uncomfortable. Maybe the Holy Spirit will. But I try to make them just comfortable. Are you open to hearing the good news? Just ask. I'm just asking the question. And once you become comfortable with it, oh, it's beautiful. You have the keys to the kingdom. You can share the good news, and you'll know when the timing's not right, and you'll know when to move forward, but you just got to start. It's the same old thing. You just got to start. You just got to not be afraid to fail, not be afraid to make mistakes, and you'll grow and you'll get better and better and better. So, that being said, we're going to wrap up here pretty quickly. What you have in your hand, it says five share Jesus questions. And I use this quite a bit. It's not my method. I picked it up, learned it. But in the same way, I'll ask people, you can ask, think about this, anybody, anywhere, anytime. What are your spiritual beliefs? And you get all kinds of answers. And by the way, it doesn't matter what they say. If you look down a few lines, it says your answer to all of the first four questions are just, okay, interesting. You're not correcting them, because you're going to get Buddha. You're going to get answers like there is no God. You're going to get the God of the universe. You're going to get all types of answers. And it doesn't matter. You're just asking. The second question narrows it down, though, doesn't it? So, what are your spiritual beliefs? And they share with you, okay, well, who's Jesus to you? Now we've just taken all those gods, any of them that they could have picked, and we've gone, boom. How about this one? And you're going to hear it was a great teacher. You're going to hear a good moral guy, or there was no Jesus, he's a myth. I mean, you're going to get all kinds, but you don't, it's okay. You're not going to correct him. You're just saying, okay, interesting. Now we're going to get a little more serious, right? Do you think there's a heaven or hell? And it's interesting. All the people I've ever asked that question, there's only been two that don't believe that there's a heaven, if you will. None of them think they're going to hell, by the way. They all think they're going to heaven. I've only had two people say that they actually thought they were going to hell. Just right up front, they knew they were bad, and they weren't Christians. I mean, obviously. So, number four, if you died, where would you go? That's that question. If heaven, why? Right? Like, why would you go to heaven? That's pretty important. Now we're really getting down. Now you start seeing people who think they're Christians telling you because they're a good person. So even within the realm of Christianity, it's kind of interesting, like, uh-oh, what they think is wrong, right? Ah, well, good. So all those questions, it's just kind of like, okay. I mean, you're not trying to correct them or hammer anything. But this last question is a key, because now you've kind of see where they're at. And by the way, you're through with that in just a couple of minutes usually. Those four questions don't drag on long. But the Bible, we'll say, the Bible has a lot to say about this. Do you mind if I share it with you? I actually like the second part of it better. I'll say, if what you believed was going to get you to heaven, because most of the time they're off, if what you believed was going to get you to heaven really wasn't, would you want to know? Now I'm asking permission. I'm just asking, would you want to know? Can I share it with you? Because if they say no, I'm going to say, okay, no problem. Hey, anytime you have any questions, love to talk to you. I mean, hey, come to church with me sometime. Would love to. Probably won't come, but they told me no. I'll stop right there. No problem. Some people will ask why, but man, if they say no, they know what you're asking, right? So, I want to know that. And when they say yes, wow, you got permission. You got permission. So, in light of time, because you heard what I heard, so I'm going to, that was my reminder. And by the way, Nick is my second reminder, and he's, yeah, gotcha. So, I intended, and you can take these home. These are the scriptures, and I'm going to read them real quick. But I want you to, the idea is, you see how my Bible is? Now, the guy who designed this will sell you a Bible, but I thought I'd save you $20-$25, right? Actually has it. It's a neat little Bible. It's leather bound, and you can go through all these little steps in here and so forth. And I use different scripture than he uses anyway. And you might look at what I have, and you might say, oh, that's 2 Corinthians verse. I like it, but I like this one better. Use it. If you want to switch some of this stuff, no problem. We'll take a quick look at this. But here's the deal. On page 2, I even put the stickers in there for you, right? You guys probably saw that. You know those, right? I put those on there. So here's what you do. You take the number 1, and there's number 1. See on top here? Number 1, I go to that page in the Bible. I go to that verse, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is part of the Roman road. It's one of the most famous verses that people use to say, hey, so I recommend you highlight that verse so it stands out on that page. So when you turn to it, when you're ready, there it is. The only thing I have on there that's highlighted is that verse. They can read it. I give it to them. Here, read this. I don't read it to them. Because who cares what I think? Hey, this is what God says. It's powerful. Here, just read this. And I ask them to read it out loud. And you might even circle the word all. That's a key word in there, isn't it? Right? Then, guess what? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 go down the side on the Bible. Right down the side. I just wanted to get my first one quickly. and they stick out enough where I can see them. Now, if they stick out too far, they're going to wear off and shave off because you're, so get them on that edge there. But literally, after that, I'll turn to the second one. That's why I put them in there. I can just turn to it. I'll just say, read this. I got a couple of verses for you to read. Second one's Romans 6:23. The first verse already told them they were a sinner, right? God did. You didn't. God did. The second one says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I highlighted on your page what I recommend you either circle or underline. Probably better. So you highlight the whole verse and just underline, wages of sin is death, gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. It'll stand out a little bit. The third one, how can we share the gospel without this verse? John 3:16. So the third one I turn to and have them read it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Then I turn to the fourth one. Here, read this. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Powerful verse. Then I'll turn to number five, 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he says, as an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boy, God's telling them today, right now, if the Spirit's working in them and they're reading this, it's right now. And again, at the top of this page it says we're page turners. We're just getting out of God's way. We're just page turners. Here, read this, right? We don't need to get involved here. God's working. I'll turn to number six, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves, for it is the gift of God. I'll turn to number seven, Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, and that's what I highlight, believe in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And finally, number six, here's kind of an invitation. I love this verse, Revelation 3:20. I turn to number eight. Here, finally read this. This is the last one. And now read it out loud for me, will you? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So there's just one method right there. It's so simple. You can have it ready in your Bible. You don't got to come buy one. You can use your Bible. In fact, I looked up all these verses in the New King James because I think that's the most what we have. You might look at some other translations. Oh, that kind of reads better. But whatever Bible you have, I did them purposely because they were New King James. And you can use them right in your Bible. And it's interesting. The last part here, five decision questions. So after they're done and you've shared, how about this? Just ask them the question. Will you admit or confess that you're a sinner? You're just asking them. Hey, guys, now that you've read that, and this is what God's told you, and that came off of Romans 3:23. Second thing is, do you want forgiveness for your sins? And I don't know. Anytime they may say yes or no. And if they say no, well, okay. You might say, why not? Or, gotcha, did you miss something? Or you might just say, hey, no problem. You want to stop? Number three, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again? That came out of that Romans verse, Romans 10. Are you willing and ready to believe in Christ and receive everlasting life? John 3:16. Are you ready to open the door to your heart and invite Jesus into your life as both Savior and Lord? Heck, you might just go to number five. You might just ask him that one first. I don't know. Wherever the Lord's leading you, right? And then they just say, at that point, if they, with whatever they say, just bow your head and pray. Just not aloud, but just pray to yourself. Be silent. Let them answer. They'll say yes or no. And you can lead them in a prayer. And I've included a prayer on the back. You can use whatever prayer you want. Just a method that we have here. It's just one method, guys. And I have a list of people. I don't have time to go through them, but I want to tell you, I'm not sharing this with you without having you know that with this list of people that I've shared with over the years, some are believers today, happy in the Lord. Others don't even speak to me anymore. We've lost our friendship. They've got so mad at me. I had one of them literally write a letter to my pastor and challenge him, tell him he wanted to come to church and come up on stage. And this is when I was at Saddleback. So big stage, this guy was that bold. He just wanted to come tear the place up, a mocker. So I want you to know, I'm not just up here preaching and teaching. This is just the way it's been. You're going to have joys. You're going to have relationships that end because of it. He says, they don't hate you. They hate me, Jesus said. It's me that you're sharing about. Don't take it personally, but those things might happen. But I'll finish with this, and then we'll pray. Think about this now. Just finishing up here. You know, J. Vernon McGee quoted Spurgeon. He says, you know, if I just knew, if the Lord would just tell me who's going to say yes, right? He said, if the Lord just painted a yellow stripe on the back of everybody's back, I'd go around all day and just lift up coattails. I just look. Oh, I got one. I'll share the gospel. But he goes, he didn't do that. So we got to scatter that seed everywhere. We've got to share everywhere, gently and kindly. The word of God is to comfort the afflicted. You're going to have some that say they can never get to heaven, and we got to have the word of God to comfort them. It's also to afflict the comfortable. The word of God will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. They're going to have a stone in their shoe sometimes. It's going to bug them, but that's okay. What's our motivation? Love. We love them. And more important, he loved us and loves us. And we ought to have that heart and desire to want to share with others what he's done for us, that assurance of heaven. Or, you know what their alternative is, right? Their alternative is this. This is a poem I'm ending with this, my friend. My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. While on this earth, I walked with you day by day, and never did you point the way. You knew the Lord through truth and glory, but never did you tell the story. My knowledge was then very dim. You could have led me safely to him. Though we live together here on earth, you never told me of your second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend and trusted you. But now I learn, now it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. We walked day by day and talked by night. And yet you showed me not the light. You let me live, love and die. And all the while, you knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life and trusted you in joy and strife. Yet in coming to this end, I see you really weren't my friend. Heavy. But the Lord is good. We have the keys of the kingdom. We just got to go share it. He does the saving. He does the saving. We just assist. We're just here to assist. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for the verses that you put on my heart to share today. And I pray that everybody here, not just here, but in your kingdom, would point others to you and share, take the risk, recognize your love for them, and love others enough to share the gospel, the good news, our testimony. Do something to lead them to you, knowing they can't fail, knowing that you do the saving, Lord. Thank you for loving us the way that you do, the promises that we have. Help us with our unbelief. And fill us with your spirit that we could be witnesses for you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.